Blog Talk Radio.
64 people are confirmed dead. In Mayfield, Kentucky, a worker in a candle factory that was flattened describes the horror.
I was stuck there for 2 hours, not able to breathe. I thought I was going to die.
Andrea Miranda says she could hear the screams and cries for help for hours before she was rescued. Governor Andy Beshear said there are over 100 Kentuckians who are still unaccounted for. Beshear added numbers are fluid and the death toll is expected to rise above 70. The tornadoes carved over a 200-mile path of destruction. The commercial real estate industry is facing potentially billions in increased costs due to flood damage. A new study from nonprofit First Street Foundation found approximately 730,000 retail, office, and multi-residential properties face an annual risk of flooding damage in the U.S. The structural damage from flooding is projected to cost $13.5 billion next year, increasing to over $16.9 billion by 2052. Student loan payments are getting set to restart soon. Federal payments were paused with interest rates set at zero at the start of the coronavirus pandemic. The Biden administration rolled out one more final extension in August. In the fall of this year, more than 42 million people had federal student loans of some sort, which equals almost $1.6 trillion. Borrowers can expect to see a billing statement with at least 21 days before the first payment is due on February 1st. The Dr. Oz show will be no more early next year. Sony Pictures Television says the last show will air January 14th. It's been on the air since 2009, but it's leaving TV screens as Mehmet Oz runs for Senate as a Republican in Pennsylvania. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
There are over 20,000 homeless in our state, and many are children. When overlooked, they can harbor feelings of anger, isolation, and shame. You can help. Since 2009, Birthday Dreams has been providing these kids with hope, joy, and an increased sense of self-worth. Birthday Dreams has helped over 10,000 children with the gift of a birthday party. Volunteer as a cake maker, gift wrapper, delivery driver, or become a financial donor. Visit birthdaydreams.org. That's birthdaydreams.org.
Let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and showers on and off throughout the day today. High temperatures around 43, 44 degrees. Tonight, clouds and mixed rain and snow showers moving in. Low temperatures dropping down to just above freezing, down to about 33, 34. Tuesday, chance of rain, snow mix. High temperatures around 41 with low temperatures in the low 30s. The rain and snow mix will run for the next couple of days. Taking a break by Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures all week in the low 30s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
I just want to say to everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. Are you ready to get big and get big out loud right now? I'm excited about this show. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to hang out and just sit here and listen to Carrie Knutson. I get to sit here and just, like, I do the introduction. I'm going to tell you who Carrie is. And then you're going to get to hear from her because there is so much to talk about as energy is shifting and things are changing and we're looking at success or we're looking at failure. There was a quote from Star Wars movie, Yoda's quote, failure is the greatest teacher. And yet at some times the word itself scares people. Today, we're going to hear this incredible journey that Carrie is going to put us on because that's what she does. And then later on, I think she's going to sing for us a little bit, but we're going to see where she goes with this because she is a performer. Carrie Knutson, Get Big Out Loud. This is where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life. But more than that, she is a professional speaker, school counselor, storyteller, mom, closeted rap artist. Benny, we haven't done that yet. chronic extrovert, and more. And think about this now where Carrie is. This show is to help all of us step in, step up, and step out. Carrie, great show today. I'm excited about this one, right?
Yeah.
Just
sorry to talk over you. Thanks for the build-up, Dr. Pat. Sorry to talk over you there. But I'm excited about this show because it's about living on purpose and what that could look like and what it means, what keeps us from living on purpose, how we could get courage to do it, but also, like, what does it really mean to live on purpose? And like you said, I have a couple stories to share about that today and some ideas around it. I'm especially excited now because I think it feels like a strange time where there's opportunity potentially, but also a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And we're still in a weird place, I think, most of us, with this in-between place. And I feel like this, the idea of living on purpose could act as a guide or a beacon to help us think in what direction we want to go.
You know what I love about this topic, and I know you're going to talk about it, so let me kick it off with this question. Whenever I've worked with, I work with women in recovery, and a lot of times when we talk about purpose, their eyes roll back. I mean, not just women in recovery, but, you know, the women I work with, their eyes roll back, and it's as if I'm asking them to think about something so daunting and overwhelming. Some days for me, my purpose had to simply do with getting up and being able to walk my dog. And so we're going to hit the realm of what living on purpose means at the macro, the micro, the universal level. But for you, why are we so confused or scared of the word purpose?
Well, I think we've, like, overdone it in a way. Like, a lot of times when we look at society, it has to be, like, a big, huge, I'm going to change the world, or I'm a leader, or I'm an extrovert, or look at this thing I've produced. And it's almost not enough just to be, where we have to be doing something. And a lot of times, like, this plays out. Think about, and if people feeling, did you have a good day? Yeah, I got a lot off my to-do list. Not like, yeah, I showed up in the world in a good headspace, right? Equate our success with what we do. Or we equate being successful by other people saying, oh, you're a success, look what you did. But it's very performative. And I think sometimes people get scared of the word purpose because purpose seems to be very performative. Like, you have to do something, you know, big to have purpose. And I think we really are misguided in this idea because purpose has to be for everyone. And we need people with big, audacious goals and to, you know, be those people in that kind of we perceive as those go-getters. But I also think we need everyone to show up in their own lives with purpose. And like you said, I think there's a difference between intention and purpose. Like you say, my intention is to get up and walk my dog, and that's all I can do today, right? That's like your intention for the day. But our purpose is bigger than just getting through the day. It's like, why do you show up, not just to your job, but the way you do in your life, right? So your purpose can be about connection. It can be about empathy. It can be about service, right? And your job, your J-O-B, job title, may have nothing to do with your purpose, right? But maybe your purpose is how you show up in the world. And a lot of times people get scared of that because it seems like we get, well, what if I don't have a purpose? Or what if I fail at my purpose? Or what if people think my purpose is stupid and people don't like my purpose, right? And that kind of just really stops us from even trying to articulate it in the first place. We get really, I think society, the mindset of society is it can look like this or like that. And if you don't have it that way, you don't have a purpose. And it keeps you like, well, what if my purpose? And people might say things like, you know, when you see people have really disparate interests that actually make them interesting, but they're afraid to say, like, I really have a passion for this or I really like this.
Yeah.
And people think, well, how are you going to make money with that? Right? How are you going to make money? How are you going to pay the bills? And we confuse this idea, again, that work and purpose are not always the same thing. They're not. And we always don't, we don't get paid for our purpose. But a lot of times people confuse it. Like, what are you going to do with that?
Okay, I got to tell you, I got to ask you a question. I want you to chime in on this. People thought I lost my mind when I was in my early 20s, and the word purpose wasn't exactly used, right? But it was the same idea. It was kind of like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or, you know, like things like that that people say to you. Back then, the people I hung out with, nobody said to me, oh, what do you think your purpose is? They didn't say that. But I was very clear. I wanted to be, first and foremost, everything else was secondary until one day it wasn't, a championship table tennis player. I loved it so much, I wanted to be a professional. Now, that means, like, you get money for it. So the question that always came up was, well, what's your job? I'm like, it doesn't matter what my job is. And so what is it about that? And I wanted to help other young women learn the game. Now, does that mean that that's going to be my life purpose? Does that mean that that's what I did? Until a light bulb went on and somebody said to me, you better get an undergraduate degree. So help us explain the multidimensional nature of purpose so that we all don't feel ashamed that whatever our purpose or heart's desires are, that they're not enough. Because isn't that the pothole we step in sometimes?
Oh, yes. I feel like so much when the pothole is the fear of, like, the judgment, right? The rejection, the embarrassment, like all those things that we're going to get if we say out loud what we want. Also, you bring up a good point. It's a confusion between our job. What do you do for work, right? And sometimes, again, it is not about our how we pay the bills, right? Or sometimes it can be our job and our purpose are in perfect alignment, but many times they're not. And we get confused in the society that is, again, performative. What is your job? What do you do? What do you produce? And then we get confused about that. Then we get embarrassed because someone says, table tennis? What's that going to do for you, right? Or when you think about, well, I got, and mine was psychology. What are you going to do with that degree? Right? And I think like,
oh, my God, I got that too.
What are you going to do with that degree? Get something safe, and then if that's okay, you can pursue it, right? And also, I think when we're young and we're growing up, a lot of times people say, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? And we have this pressure to have it figured out. I like the idea of, well, right now I'm doing this thing and becoming this person and evolving in this way. And even when I look at my life, I say, oh, look how this experience shaped this to change this, to add to this. And it's a journey. Most people, when they look at their lives, will say that. It's a journey, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted, and I went on my journey, and I'm evolving. But we put this pressure on young kids. What do you want to be, girl, with Nebo? What do you want to do? And they're like, ballerina, astronaut, banker, lawyer, what would make my parents happy? And then sometimes as we get into an adult role, we think we're safe. And I call it the illusion of safety because, okay, I got a safe career that nobody questions, right? But then what happens is a lot of people are miserable in those careers because it's the facade. It's the illusion of safety. I didn't get to do, you know, what I wanted to do, so I did this. Or people, too, could have jobs that they absolutely love and they're good at, but they're also missing living on purpose, and which is having the courage also to pursue their passion. So there's a lot in there that I think it's not only society, but it's the human psyche. We want safety. We want comfort. We want people to like us. We want to be okay. So when you're saying to me, what do you want to be when you grow up? If I know you want me to say doctor, and I say doctor, and then you're like, oh, great, Carrie, good choice. Then we have a, you know, our relationship, the feelings based on that. So a lot of times we give up our power to others for the simple act of feeling affirmed or loved. But again, it's the illusion of that safety. And that's why a lot of people, you know, the whole idea of change this job and shove it, or I'm out of here. Or, you know, but it's almost like we have to get to the end point and be so extreme about it that I feel like that's what's missing. What if we could have this idea of, but a lot of times we have to do things to pay the bills, right, to work. And a lot of times our purpose and what we do are not necessarily aligned with that. But I think it's so disparate sometimes that we lose sight of how could I have both, right? And yeah, and is it possible to align my purpose and my passion and have the courage to do it and get paid for it? Maybe, maybe not. But sometimes we only think that the outcome has to be the money, or it has to be the recognition, or it has to be people be saying it's good, right? And that that traps us in so many ways because we get scared. We get fearful. And I mean, I don't want to be judged any more than the next person, right? And crossing the line of your comfort zone, that line is really the line of courage that you have to cross. And that is that brings a lot of anxiety for people, right? So I think it's both external and internal when we're talking about this, the messages we receive from other people, then the messages we tell ourselves, and then there's, it gets all blocked, basically.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I love this because, we are so often, as you put it so beautifully, worried about judgment, rejection on it, embarrassment, not enough, whatever that looks like for people. Mm-hmm. But, what's fascinating about it is, I was watching I don't know if it's a documentary but it was a story of Venus and Serena Williams and their dad. Mm-hmm. It was on cable or something this weekend. I was really fascinated. I want to watch it. And I was very, very clear as I was watching it that purpose without passion is extremely difficult. I wonder, Carrie, if it even is purpose if it's without passion. And the only reason I bring it up is as I was watching that, I had somebody ask me, why did you have that when you were young? Why in your 20s out of the things you could have picked said, they said, was it because you wanted to be number one? I didn't have that same thing that the sisters, the Williams sisters had. I didn't have a dad. But I loved that sport so much and to play it. I wanted to play people all over the world, and the only way to do that was to compete. Honestly, if I had more of a competitive streak in me, I probably would have done a whole lot better. But I just wanted to have fun to a fault. How are you leading a match 17 to like 8 in the Olympic team woman, whatever she was, and then lose the match? But when we make life and purpose about winning and losing, what's the impact of that? Do we put ourselves in the middle of worry? Do we put ourselves in the middle of fear? Do we put ourselves, subject ourselves to success or failure? What is your sense of this?
I love the idea, can you have purpose without passion? That whole idea.
Can you?
I think if it's externalized purpose, I think your question is great. I think if you have externalized purpose, like other people giving you your purpose, and it's hard to have passion around that, I don't think it's true purpose. I also think if it's purpose for the end goal, like I want to make, I don't think money, making money is necessarily bad, but if you're like tie your purpose with how much money you're making and then let's say you don't reach your goal, then was it worth it? Or to me, the idea of purpose that's internally driven, the internal thing that keeps, I feel like it's like if you equate it to a fire, right? The purpose is the fire, the thing that gets you up. You have to feed the fire with something so it doesn't go out, right? And I feel like passion is the kindling for that. I work so hard in my own business. I'll stay up late. I'll make things happen. I'll work so hard. It is the best work, though, that I've ever done. Yeah. I love it so much that it's worth the pain, right, of that, of the hard things. Or when I work so hard on something and I get someone who gives me like a negative feedback, something negative on my feedback. Or someone says something one time about my show, like, and criticized one of the things in my show, and I kept thinking like, but to me that shrinks you right back down because you're thinking, well, am I doing it for you or am I doing it to do it? Am I doing it because it needs to be in the world? Am I doing it because I feel good or I want to have fun or this feels joyful or this feels important? Right, those are the feelings that are the kindling of passion, I think, that drive the purpose, rather than the kindling being, do you like it? Does society say it's good? Do you think this should be my purpose? And I'll say my safety of an easy purpose that everyone will agree is good, right? And I see this so many times, honestly, when I speak to different groups of people, the people that I speak with are super passionate about their careers and whatever industry they're in. But we also talk about the judgment they receive from society about what they do. And like just recently I was talking to the Humane Society in Pikes Peak, specifically law enforcement. animal law enforcement, and we talked about the stereotypes of people being like, oh, you're just a dog catcher, right? Yeah. Like, and then also the people in animal welfare. Oh, it must be nice to be with dogs all day and adopt dogs. And they do not see the complex system that goes along with animal welfare, right? And they just categorize people and demean them. And yet these people are so passionate about what they do. But then, oh, you're just a, right? And they reduce, and sometimes we then own that reduction, like, I guess I am just a, right? And that diminishes why you show up every day if you're constantly being like, do you understand me? Do you affirm me? Do you think I'm good? Do you understand my job? So sometimes we have to say, here's what I'm about, here's what I do. You may not get me yet, but give me some time, right? And we have to show up to the world, not expecting that immediate gratification or understanding sometimes, because we're not going to get it. And that's what I feel like waylays two things. It makes it hard to stay focused on our purpose. It diminishes our passion, and it diminishes our courage. Mm. And those two things get us stuck.
Yeah,
that's what I think about that question.
So the idea for this, let's talk about where the idea for this show came from, because it's a beautiful story. And I'm really, I was really blown away. First of all, Scarlett Johansson or Scarlett Johansson, depends on where you're from. Black Widow, played the character Black Widow in Aubrey Marvell, won a People's Choice Award. Now, the character Black Widow is no longer existing because they killed her off in the movie. And anybody that followed this knows that. But she got this People's Choice Award for Black Widow. She's a woman. She produced this film. And when she accepted the award, I was really struck by what she said. And it's a lead-in to why you decided to do this show on this topic. She didn't talk about thank you and blah, blah, blah. She said, I wanted to bring heart to this character, and I didn't know able to create this character that people would come to love. She said something like that. I don't have her exact clip. She talked about her role as Black Widow in a very purposeful way. It wasn't just about, oh, I'm an actor and I'm going to play this role. She wanted to bring something to life that was inside of her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were looking at this today because something touched your heart. Tell us about that.
Yes, and I love the lead into, like, what touches us, right? What motivates us? What gets us at the core versus what should get us? We all know when we have those feelings of, like, that I call it the spark, that in me it lives right here, that, like, oh, I'm excited about that. Oh, I want to follow that or pursue that. It's that intrigue. And it's beyond, I'm an actress and I want to be a star in a movie, right? I want to bring this character to life that's so much different than I want this to make $1 million or whatever. So for me, the reason, something that touched me recently is I was watching the movie on Netflix called Tick, Tick, Boom. And it is the story of Jonathan Larson, who was a lyricist, composer, and he really wanted to produce something for Broadway, and it's about him turning 30, and it's semi-autobiographical, and the movie just struck me so much because it really showed how someone in their 30s, I think I related so much to, like, am I going to be successful? Am I going to make it? And I remember my 30th birthday being like, oh my gosh, I'm 30. How did that happen? I've done nothing yet. I've done everything, right? It's a real big moment. And I think, too, because now that I just turned 50, I had that similar kind of feeling, that marker in time. So in this movie, he's turning 30, and it's showing he works at a diner. He's been working on this Broadway musical called Superbia. And honestly, the music is great, and he really can't stop writing and thinking about it, right? But he's working at a diner to make ends meet, and nobody is buying his stuff. No, everyone says it's great, but no one wants to produce it, essentially. And it's interesting because, you know, at the end of that movie, one of his agents says, you know, it was great. You did great at the reading. But write about something you know, is what she says to him. Because the Superbia is about aliens and other things happening. She goes, Jonathan, write about something you know. And in that moment, when he's like, ah, this should be my moment, you know, and it wasn't. But yet he keeps writing, right? And he's alive in the 90s. And this is after the movie ends. And in real life, he's alive in the 90s. And he's seeing the AIDS epidemic come up. He's seeing sexuality come up. He's seeing poverty. He's seeing social ideas around wealth and poverty and rights and health and all these things come up. So he starts to write about what he knows. And he creates this musical called Rent. And he writes these amazing songs. And he's just about to get it to its Broadway, its off-Broadway premiere. The night before, it's like, going to be huge, right? And he dies the night before the preview. The night, and my heart just broke in a million pieces because what would it be like to strive and yearn and create, even in the face of rejection, even in the face of hardship, even in the face of, like, he couldn't give up on his dream at the expense of he had to live in a horrible apartment. He had to be poor, and he saw his friends, like, living in nice places, having things, right? And it was great because the movie showed the struggle with that. He wasn't like, I'm fine being a starving artist. He was like, I'm struggling with being a starving artist. I might give up. And the thing that it made me realize when I thought about Rent, so Rent went on to be a hugely international successful Broadway musical. It actually changed the face of Broadway.
Yeah.
It became rock opera, became a term. And it was his singular work that changed Broadway forever. It was one musical that line in the sand then shifted what was possible. And that made people like Lin-Manuel be able to do his kind of work in Hamilton, right, and all this stuff. So what I thought about when I saw that was like, oh, my gosh, he lived so on purpose, but he never saw the outcome of his effort. And how many times do we strive for a purpose only for the outcome? We want the outcome, right? And what keeps you going when it's tough, when you get rejected, when it feels all is lost? Some of us can't just not do the work. And his story just touched me so much because in comparison now with Stephen Sondheim just passed at 91, and he had a long, incredible, illustrious career in Broadway. And I kept thinking of this juxtaposition between these two men, one who died at 35 with one singular Broadway show and one who died at 91 with a huge amount of work.
Right.
And the thing that I compared about both of them is they both lived on purpose. And one did not stop because of rejection and perceived failure. And one did not stop because of perceived success and accolades. Because Stephen Sondheim could have said, listen, I've written a million of these. I got every award in the world. I got my name on a bunch of theaters. I'm wrapping it up. I'm rich. I'm famous. I've done it. Everyone has a lot of songs because of me. You're welcome. I'm done. But he did it because it was more than those successes and accolades that kept him living on purpose. So when I juxtapose these two people, it really struck me, you know, this message of what does it mean to live on purpose? And I thought this story was an idyllic way to think about these two men doing the same thing, having very different experiences, but both living on purpose.
I love that you did that, and I love the example you gave. I want to talk with you about it more when we come back. Because what if we could remove the shackles that we put on our purpose? What if we could do that? What if there was a way, as you talked about, and this is in the body of work that you do with people, you know, because purpose has a mental, an emotional, a spiritual, all those elements.
Mm-hmm.
We feel it. We think it, we rise up for it, and sometimes when we are on the edge of failure, which I am very familiar with, we say, hello, are you watching me here? Could you just give me a little hand or something? Hello, can you do that? When we come back, 2022, our theme for 2022, I'm getting teased about this, but it's very powerful for us, Jessica, myself, and Linda. Every year we have a theme. It could have been all about the network. And we looked at each other and we said, no, we've got to give back. 2022, it's all about you. It's all about you, Carrie Knutson. What can we do to support you better? It's all about you, all of you listening. You know, our membership will give you gifts every month to help you rise up. It's all about you, all the hosts and producers. Benny, it's all about you, because this is a time now where we have to remove the shackles of fear of purpose. When we come back, I'm hoping you're going to help me out here. I'm hoping you're going to help me out. Carrie, how do people find out about you? Let's let folks know. I love this topic. I love the way you're talking. And that example, I'm just holding back the tears on that one. Oh, my God. How do we find out about you?
You can go to KnutsonSpeaks.com. It's KNUTSON.com. Or I'm on any social media channel under KnutsonSpeaks. And really, the work that I do, what I love is the reason my company is KnutsonSpeaks is because not only do I train, podcast, I have a show, a one-woman stage show, but everything I do involves taking a psychology and applying it to real life. And you can see all the kinds of things I do on social media. And I feel, again, part of my purpose was saying, I'm going to be KnutsonSpeaks. I'm going to do this in my own way, in the way that, so when you say, wait, you got a show and you do coaching and you do presentations? What? Yeah, I do. That's me, showing up with purpose. So that's where you can find me, and that's what I'm about.
I love it. And don't you love it when somebody says to you, what are you doing next year, Terry, Pat? Where are you finding the time to do that? Why are you so passionate about bringing the network to more people, more countries? What's in it for you? That is the question that puts like fire-breathing dragon stuff. If you ask Jessica, why are you working 60 hours out of the week, what's in it for you? The answer you'll get is we are in service of others. When we come back, can you be purposeful in your life? Hang on to it. And what if your purpose may change? What if all of a sudden you cannot play ping pong anymore because your boss threatened not to give you a promotion until you got your degree? Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrian Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889 1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Mac, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara company. I've been using the Volara company equipment, the Air Machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can go to MaryJaneMac.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Disco back. Hey, everybody. Hey,
Broadway. That's Broadway.
No, I know. I was very good. Broadway. Oh, my gosh. I so miss Broadway. Carrie Knutson is joining me here today. This is her show, Get Big Out Loud with Carrie, Living the Complex, Funny, and Beautiful Ride of Life. Some of the things I didn't say about Carrie, which I want to mention for a minute, is when you meet someone like Carrie, and you take her professional career, the world of psychology, emotional intelligence, she is an expert at that, and then you take a look at who she is as she directed and stars in a one-woman storytelling show, Ain't Never Met a Stranger, which I don't know if she's going to go do that thing again, but I hope so. And then she shows up and does this show because this is of service. So we're going to talk about not just that. Can you carve out something where you can honor where you are right at this moment? Can you honor this today? And if you cannot, can we help you today? Give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. This is, like, powerful. You're setting us up for 2022, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think talking about purpose is one of the most important conversations that people can have. If you all don't have a coach, if you need someone to help you with this, get a hold of Carrie. You might be afraid to talk about it. You might already be preconceived as a failure for something which you haven't even identified yet. And we want to tell you you're not, right, Carrie? Not a failure.
No, and I want to speak to that real briefly because I think the idea of being successful at whatever you decide you want to do is usually based on outcomes, not effort. And sometimes you can't control the outcome. You can always control the effort. And I think that idea of I failed because I didn't reach this marker of success, whether that's external or internal, sometimes we forget, like, oh, my gosh, but look how far I did come. And sometimes even the smallest bit of measurable success is our effort, right, to get us there. And this, to me, like, when I think about watching the movie, the Tick, Tick, Boom, or seeing people, they don't write the song and be like, oh, look, it's perfect. Look, I just wrote, there's like, you know, they come up, there's an idea that Jonathan Larson had, then he writes something, then he tries to get a lyric, and then it's awful, and then he changes it again. And then someone sings it, he has a different realization. It's evolving, right? Just like a song evolves, and then we hear it, and we think, oh, that song's always existed like that, pure perfection. And no one says, man, I bet there were hundreds of hours that went into just what word would go there or how to score this part or if we should repeat this line or not or this doesn't quite work with the key change or whatever you're going to say about. And that's how I think we equate that. We expect to just show up and be like, look, it's all perfect. And we never see the effort.
And sometimes the outcome is not what we want. Other people don't like it. It's not what we even hoped it would be. But I think you cannot lose if you go back and look at your effort as a measure of success. And I think that idea, instead of outcome always being the measure of success, if you thought about effort, you could reframe a lot of things in your life. And you could also see, as everyone knows, but it's hard to internalize, even me, I hate this part, failure is part of the growth process. We actually have to acknowledge that, can I fail? Can I fail well? Right? Can I cross the line of my comfort zone to actually put myself in situations where I might fail? What did I learn from it? Right? And failure in quotes, to me, is like, is it an abject failure or parts of it are failures, right? So we have to be willing to fail to put ourselves further out there and to be successful. And that, again, like, keeps us real small because we want safety, we want comfort, we want to know it's all going to turn out. We want to hear the song when it's done, not on the rewrites. Or as my mom, this always makes me laugh when I was taking violin. When you first learn how to play violin as a child, it sounds horrible.
Oh, my God, I played viola.
Oh, so you know, it sounds like something, some strange alien is dying, right? It's no good. And my mom's like, I cannot tolerate this. How soon till you get good is what she said. How soon do you get good? And my dad was a music teacher, so he knew, right? But my mom was like, I cannot. It sounds awful. And it did, right? I appreciated her honesty. But it always makes me think about, you're never going to get good unless you play the first rotten note, right? And you're never going to get good unless you play the second one. Sometimes you have to start to get better, right? And starting's not always pretty or glamorous. And I think, too, every start that I've made, I look back to my first presentation. I keep it on my hard drive on my computer because I open it up sometimes because it makes me wince when I see how poorly produced it is compared to my standards now. But I always thank that first presentation because without the first one, I wouldn't have got the second one, or right now the 100th or the 200th one. I needed that not very great presentation that makes me cringe. Like, I literally look at it like this and I'm like, what were you thinking?
Oh, my God, I know.
I did that I grew and I changed. That was a success because of my
faith. Oh, my God.
That's an example.
You know, you're so right about that because I never forgot my first, let's just call it my first, like, professional presentation, because I think that's what you're talking about. I mean, we're presenting all the time in our lives, but there's that one time that you're asked to present, and I will never forget this because it could have stopped me from ever speaking again. First of all, I started as a kid, but that wasn't the issue. I went through early menopause. And I'm given this presentation in a pink shirt that completely pitted out in front of a room of men executives. And honestly, anybody that knows what I'm talking about knows you can't control it. There isn't any amount of any deodorant that you're going to use. But see, that could have been my end game. But let's just talk about Yoda for a minute. Because I was reminded of this weekend. I work on computer stuff, and I got the TV and the radio going. The greatest teacher failure is. Do you know how many people wanted me to change the signature question of the show from what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail because it wasn't positive? I don't know. Help me. How do we skirt around the lessons we get from failure, the stamina and the resilience it builds? Because I don't know if you quit playing the violin at that point, but I could feel you on that. And, you know, there's nothing more disappointing than you finally learning a song and you play it for your family and you play the viola, which doesn't have a, I mean, you could play Jingle Bells and it sounds like because you're not playing the main melody. And your dad says, how much money are we paying for those lessons? But look, we can either throw the towel in or not. Let's get right to that point, can we?
Yes, because here's the point I want to make. There is a cost to following or not following, like, your passion, right? And the cost might be, like literal, like, how much you're paying for this? We can't afford it. You're not getting good fast enough. You're done. Right? Another person can make that choice for you. But it's really the personal cost, I think, of deciding not to follow it or follow it, both ways, because it comes at a cost.
following your passion comes at a cost, not following it comes at a cost. So you're going to pay either way, I think. But the idea of that it's not worth it is something we have to get over, or that I don't want to fail in the process is something we have to get over. Because a lot of times we don't give ourselves credit enough for the small starts that it takes, or to be a beginner again, or to say, I had a friend, these are two friends that I have that have interesting things. One friend just declared, I'm an artist. She's like, I'm an artist. And meanwhile, she had been like a librarian and a stay-at-home mom and worked at a museum and all that. But in her heart, she's like, I am an artist. So I'm going to produce art. I'm going to learn about it, and I'm going to do it. And then she just posted recently, this year was my first time as a full-time artist. Right? And it's only because she one day said, yeah, I'm an artist.
Wow, I love it.
Sold anything or done anything or had to create her great canvas work. All it started with a simple statement. I am an artist. And owning that put her on a journey, right? It's a trajectory. And I had another friend working in corporate world, knew she was a gardener, knew it. Took her 12 years to figure out, like, I really want to be a gardener and I want to do this work. Right? I want to work to make the world a more beautiful place. But that tiny voice that said, I know my purpose, right? Versus the society voice of, you should do this, you're going to give up all this, right? Right? That's the juxtaposition, or it's not somehow worthy enough. And that's, again, the price for admission to either do your purpose or don't. Because doing it is going to cost you something, right? The judgment of others, the embarrassment, the potential fear. But not doing it might cost you a lifetime of regret, of sadness, of heartbreak, of only if, right? Or the security that I call, again, the illusion of safety. You feel safe, but something is wrong,
yeah,
right? Because you're not living on purpose, and you know it. So the days and years drag on, and then you have your midlife crisis, and you're like, ah! And we're not supposed to live like that. That's why I feel it's so extreme. You either are all in or you're all out. Whatever. Part of me is like, you can still do your day job and also have a passion. Maybe you can blend those and maybe you can't. But you can still live on purpose no matter what you are doing. And that part I think we forget because we get into the grind and we get into what we should do and we have to do. And sometimes we, like you said, my intention is to get through this day. My intention in the moment might be to get through this day, but my purpose is bigger than the moment. My purpose is, again, driving me, and the passion for that is the kindling that keeps the purpose alive. So it's an interplay. There is a cost to pursue it, but there is a cost not to.
And can you talk more about that for a minute? Because I think that point right there is so important. And I love that you're bringing it up, because I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I'll get hit up beside my head by either somebody I know or saying to me, hello, you're so busy, and you're so busy. And we have to talk to our producers, like when they answer the phone, like not to say, well, she's so busy and Jessica's so busy, because we don't see our lives like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's a cost. And so for those of us, we think about our passion all the time. We think about how to make it better. Like Jessica came up with a brilliant idea that we're going to launch soon, right? So we're thinking about it. We're in that zone of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, sorry, I'm going back to New Jersey, and there's a tournament at the club that I learned how to play. Now, the club has changed. The players have changed. But there's a tournament on the day I'm leaving to come back home. And so I just thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool to play in a tournament at a place that I played my first tournament?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that makes no logical sense to anybody. But can you talk about the energy of feeling purpose? Mm-hmm. Feeling it. Can you talk to that?
Yes, I can, because that is, to me, you can call it intuition, you can call it spark, you can call it desire. Again, I say I feel it right here when my heart goes like, and I know I want to pursue something, because my internal feeling, before my brain can even get there, my body's like, you want to do that. And then what happens is my brain's like, no, you can't. You can't do that. You can't figure that out. You haven't done that before. Who would say that? Like, so my brain is like, pushing it. The little spark came up. It legitimately came up, and we all know when we feel that, right? So that is such a good point. Our body sometimes knows before we cognitively know, like our feeling. And if we can trust that, that little bit of like, oh, and then I always say, don't blow out the candle after you just lit it. Like, light the glow candle, like the little spark happened, and there's this tiny gentle flame. Don't be like, you're dead to me. Like, don't blow it out. Protect it and be like, oh, this is interesting. And then you might just explore one small thing related to that or notice, like, oh, I'm noticing I'm having a lot of fear around this. Oh, I'm noticing this. If you just notice without, you don't have to believe everything you think. And also you don't have to say, like, I have to have the whole plan worked out. Like, you don't have to say, like, well, I'm not playing that tournament. And then you say, well, I can't because I haven't been there in a while and I'm older now. And then I was a champion before. What if I'm not now? What will people say? Oh, that lady's back? Like, you could make up a million stories that would be like, and you won't show up on that day to be like, hey, want to play some bingo? Because it will simply bring you joy.
Yeah.
And it's simply fun. And again, the purpose is different than the outcome.
Yeah.
And we have to get the difference of that. And you have to get your head straight on in terms of, I do not have to believe everything I think, and I can notice, oh, there I go again, getting into my perception of safety by saying why it won't work.
Yeah.
And then your courage comes in to be like, oh, hang on, fear. We see you there, and you have a lot of good points. They're very valid. You don't have to go anywhere, but, like, Kurt, I'm going to take up some more space here because I got to protect this little bit of it. She's like, oh, I got to protect it. I don't know where we're going with it, but it's lit, so now we need to follow it a bit. So you stay in your space. Right? And that's the kind of the interplay. And we want it to be easy. We want it to be like, I want to do that thing. I'm going to do it. Look, I'm a success. And we wish it would unfold that way. But every single person listening around knows in your life, anything you've done, anything at all, you can see the setbacks. You can see the detours. You can see where it didn't work out as planned. You can see that it took you longer than you thought, even if you got to your goal. You can see that maybe not getting there was better than actually getting there. Right, you can look back on your life, and that is so crystal clear. But somehow when we face this way, we're like, no, it better be, like, perfect and easy and doable. Go.
Well, you know, let's talk about this because you're going to share something with us, right? You're going to share a little bit about what matters to us. And also, you have something also, I don't know if you're going to sing it or read it, but to talk about No Day But Today from Rent, right? Friend of mine put it, well, actually not a friend, one of my mentors when she was alive. She said, purpose is like, I'm going to get the fish wrong. It's a fish. It's a fish. And I was going to say blowfish, but it's not that fish. It's the fish that is so delicious, that's a delicacy, but if not prepared properly, it kills you. So that was her metaphor.
Oh, my God.
That was what... And, you know, and I would just...
have a metaphor for it.
For living your purpose.
Yes.
That if you're not,
yes.
Well, her point was this. If you're not willing to take risks to enjoy something absolutely delicious, something you absolutely love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll let fear control everything in your life, will you be happy at the end of it? I never forgot that question because it took me a while to really figure that out. But you're here to talk about, for us now in closing, you know, what is it we tell ourselves? What is it that holds us back? But what is it that inspires us more than anything? Anything.
Well, and I love what you said. I want to just go back to one thing. I think there's a difference between fear and danger. And you understand that difference, right? So if you're going to be a poisonous fish, that's dangerous, right?
Yeah.
If you're fearful of trying fish, that's different, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the idea of fear and danger and, like, not being driven by that fear because it will be present, right? And it will be there. But the cost of not getting in the ring, like Brene Brown says, like, get in the ring, right? Like, the idea of getting in there, doing something towards that, even if you don't know the outcome, even if people are like, why or what are you doing? Or even if it's your hobby, even if it's your side thing, whatever it is, having some part of that in your life, to me, I believe that's what makes life worth living. I believe that's what takes us out past paying our mortgages and bills and being worried about things. I believe the purpose of life
is to share your purpose with others. So if you're not, I feel like the world is missing out on something that only you can give. And it's basically waiting. Right? Somebody is waiting for that. Like, somebody needs that. You need to express that. And even, like, in the Jonathan Larson story, his need to express that wasn't met with, like, yay, we're ready for you. The world was not ready for Jonathan Larson until it was. And then when it was, it was in a big way, right? And because of he didn't stop producing, we were able to, he was able to meet that, right? The world then was ready, and it opened up. But the idea of stopping just because you're not a success commercially or otherwise is so, we have to keep that, I think, and again, keeping that flame and keeping it protected. That is not the point. The point is to live your purpose. The point is to show up and to do that because it brings us edification, right? And really, I think it's the most basic display of love we can give ourselves and the world.
I love it. And, you know, the confusion is between selfish and selfless. And, you know, you have, for today in closing, you wanted to share a little bit about the song. I love this topic, Terry. Please tell people how they can work with you. Please tell people how they can find out more about you. And then you're going to share a little bit about No Day But Today.
Right. And I'm going to look it up on my phone just so I can look it up on a computer at the same time.
Yeah, I totally understand that issue. It's like the first time I fell off a horse when I was 9 years old, horseback riding. And my coach trainer said, get back on the horse.
Mm-hmm. Get back on, right?
She didn't say, how are you? She said, get back on that horse. All right, you ready?
Okay, yes. So here's what I love, because Jonathan Larson was prophetic, I feel like, in what he was actually trying to say. Yes. And this is how he said it. There's only us, there's only this, forget regret. Or life is yours to miss. No other path, no other way, no day but today. And then he goes on to say, I love this next part. I can't control my destiny. I trust my soul. My only goal is just to be. And then give in to love or live in fear. No other path, no other way. No day but today. And you can look at that song, and it just resonates with everything in my being. And I thought that was a good way. And I stepped outside my comfort zone to sing a little bit. But I think it's powerful when you sing it and you hear those words.
Carrie, thank you so much for this. Please, I think we got a few seconds left. Give out your website. Let folks know how they can work with you. And thank you for all that you're doing.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. It's a pleasure. You can find me on KnutsonSpeaks.com or on any social media channel. You can reach out to me if you want coaching, if you want a presentation for your group, if you want it for your organization. I do customized trainings. I have a list of topics on my website. I'm developing new ones all the time to match the needs of the moment. Like now I'm doing one on thriving through change and how we show up to the world. And again, when COVID is over and I feel safe to have people in the theater, I will be doing my one-woman show again. And that hopefully will be in the spring, but that's another way I'm putting stuff out in the world. So reach out to me if I can be of service to you in any way at all. You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Penny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 11:06 traffic update for around the town. Well, it looks like 405 northbound, southbound in the Newcastle area around the VMAC and that construction zone, heavy in both directions. It will smooth out northbound if you're heading past Coal Creek Parkway and southbound through Park Drive. Everywhere else, traffic's actually been looking pretty good. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network with Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By and Conquer Stress to Enhance your well-being. Coming up next, with special guest, Colonel Deb Lewis.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden will travel to tornado-ravaged Kentucky on Wednesday. After a White House meeting with Homeland Security and FEMA officials, Biden called the damage devastating and pretty rough stuff.
We've already approved an emergency declaration and a major disaster declaration for Kentucky. I spoke with the governor several times thus far. And this gives me the tools to provide everything that we can.
Tornadoes also hit Arkansas, Tennessee, and Illinois. The president expressed concerns for survivors and their peace of mind. He cited the mental health of storm victims and the uncertainty that's likely weighing heavily on them. Over 60 people died in Kentucky over the weekend from the catastrophic tornado outbreak. In the city of Mayfield, landscaper Ryan Mitchum is assisting with cleanup.
It's just devastating. It didn't get real to me until I see my buddy's grandma, and we walked in her home, what was left of it.
Governor Andy Beshear said there are over 100 Kentuckians who are still unaccounted for. Beshear added numbers are fluid, and the death toll is expected to rise above 70 as search and rescue teams work through the wreckage. Top Republicans are praising President Biden's speedy approval of Kentucky's major disaster declaration. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell tweeted the entire congressional delegation came together in support of Governor Beshear's request. Kentucky's McConnell said he appreciates the White House's quick work to speed resources to help deal with the damage caused by the deadly tornadoes. COVID deaths in the U.S. have topped more than 800,000. Kathy White has details.
The CDC reports that as of this week, more than 237 million Americans have gotten at least one dose of the COVID vaccine. Over 60% of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated, but the virus is still deadly. As of Sunday, 800,000 Americans have died from COVID-19, and over 14,000 of those were Virginians. More people have died from the illness in the U.S. than any other nation in the world.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you were lied to in buying a timeshare and worn out, you need my help. Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly truth about timeshare and giving folks the straight facts. I've been fighting the timeshare giants ever since, so no one knows this industry better than me and my team. Today, we have 383 employees and have saved our clients an average of $65,000 in lifetime payments. Imagine putting those timeshare dollars back in your pocket. If you were told at a timeshare presentation that this was available today and today only, that timeshare was a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, call my office now. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-939-1331. 800-939-1331. 800-939-1331.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's so great to have you join us. Colonel Deb Lewis, West Point graduate, joining us here today. First class with women, but that's not the only thing about Colonel Deb. She is the pillar of Mentally for Women. She is that person that helps people rise up, you know, that helps people understand, women especially understand, that, yes, this is the world we live in, and you can be in that world. You can excel. You can understand how to take the roller coaster ride that sometimes happens when you're in the middle of COVID, or you could learn how to rise up even if something seems like it failed. Today, we're talking about, and she is going to take us on a journey. It's so important, this message from Colonel Deb. It's so important to talk about conquer stress to enhance your well-being. You're going to hear what it is,
You're going to hear what the tools are you can use. And you're also going to know this. Beyond everything I just said about her, beyond being a survivor of the 9/11 Pentagon attack, a military career, right, that far exceeds what most people even think about, she's also an author. You're going to hear about her book today. But what has she said yes to as her passion and her purpose? You're going to hear about that today, but more importantly, conquering stress right now is one of the most important, pivotal things we can do so we can move forward in peace. Colonel Deb, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. Always a pleasure.
So let's give people an update on the, let's just call it the State of the Union on stress. I don't think in 1 year I have seen more articles from journals, more articles from magazines, more dot, 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 fill in the blanks talking about stress. How about you?
Same thing. All the conversations, people are really on edge. We talked a little bit about how electrified environment, but it doesn't take much for people to just be, I resent, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm this, or I just don't want to do anything, I'm done. You know, these kind of final statements that pop out of people's mouths. And it's interesting. It's kind of like with a spouse. Do you want it? Are they really asking you to fix it? No, they're not fixing it. They want to be able to say it because so much in the world is coming at them. So much. You look at the news. If you want to just look at negative things, there's a ton. There's a pile. There's always been a pile. It's just that now everybody's so keenly aware of it and hypersensitivity. And I think that what we're about to talk about today, they're going to love because it helps you deal in that world. It's kind of like a storm. And sadly, so many people have been injured by the storm. But most of the time, if you can hold on to something or you can have some protection that gets you through, because it's going to pass.
Yeah.
It's always going to pass, but how can you get through it? And if you're not taken out by it, then you're alive. Boom, go back, hit the ground running. That's me.
I'm with you on that. And, you know, let's just say this. In the previous shows, we talked about hot buttons. We talked about car fires. We talked about how do you use stress for your success. And, you know, today's episode is really to conquer stress. And let me ask you this question. There's a point that one can get to where it's been building up. It's like pent up, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And there's a point by which you can either learn how to conquer it or it conquers you. And the action that you take is one of anger, resentment, accusing, blaming, shaming, who knows what it is. And sometimes it's mental and emotional, and sometimes it's physical, right? Mm-hmm. Today you're going to help people get to this place to conquer it so that we don't feel that we lost control of our actions.
Yes, you become a puppet when you do not understand what's happening. Something else, some other forces are pulling those strings for you, and I don't know about you, but I don't like it when other things are controlling me. It's not my mental state. It's something else that's controlling me. And people who want to stay in control, and it's not necessarily full control, because I'll never say that, because how many times have we been in a situation where we were uncomfortable and it turned out to be the best thing that happened to us?
Last week.
Yep.
It happened to me last week.
Yep.
A really, really uncomfortable situation. It was something I had to prepare and get done. That I had to, it took me staying awake for about 48 hours to do it. And when I look back at it, when I hit the enter button to send off all the documentation and all the work, I can't even express what that feeling was like. It was like, yeah, but oh my goodness, what a sense of freedom to know. What a sense of awareness now.
I also want to say that I've had that situation, and then I pushed the button and everything disappeared. I thought you were going to go there. I wasn't sure if you were going to go there. But even in those circumstances, what do you tell yourself? How do you react? Now, initially, that jolt of adrenaline hits you because you know you have to do something.
Yeah.
But the thing is that what's the first thing you say in your head? These are some of the advanced things that we talk about. What are you saying in your head? I say, okay, if you've ever done any work like stained glass, I did stained glass early in my life, and those pieces of glass didn't always cooperate. I didn't have those very expensive machines and stuff. And then if something didn't work, you know, I'd probably take my hammer out and say, well, you lost your chance for immortality. I'm moving on. I'm going on to the next thing. But when I lost that kind of data, I've lost a couple weeks of data, and now coming on, I changed my devices. That's a hot button. What we talked about before, which I want to remind people, go back to the old times we were together, number one, number two, because that will explain more in depth, but we're trying to take the hot out of the hot button. Uh-huh. So in those moments where you are tested either to step up or in order to deal with a situation that you didn't anticipate, those are the moments where the leaders shine. Those are the moments where you can make something, like take it and make it a stepping stone. Make it into something. Leap higher. Go do something with that situation. And then, like you talked about, when everything is really ideal, you've been uncomfortable, you worked, and you send it. It's almost that relief and that joy then fills you because you accomplished it.
Yeah.
And if you want that, then that's what you have to learn, how to handle the stressful moments.
And, you know, one of the things you talk about so well and so beautifully is reactionary moments, you know, where we're reacting to things. I'm not saying that we're all robots and we don't have, you know, those reactionary things within us. And sometimes those reactionary things will save our lives, right?
Yes.
But I want to, this comment somebody said to me not too long ago, and I'd love you to run with this. It was, and I do believe this, every setback is a setup for something greater. What do you think about that comment?
I love that comment. What I'd like to do now is to give you a quote that makes that comment make sense. There's another quote that I had, and it was funny. I love Yogi T. Because Yogi T has the little quote.
Yes, I do.
And was, accept who you are in this moment, but acknowledge who you want to become. And so when you talk about the setbacks in the situations, that's the reality. That's what happens in life. But just think about, acknowledge who you are in this moment is saying, warts and all, this is who I am. But you know what? In the miracle of life, that's really phenomenal. You are a miracle, each of us. And then you say, well, who do you want to become? What do you want to become? What do you want to do? When you can attach yourself and really stay centered on that, then those setbacks will always propel you forward. They will always turn out to be better than you could have anticipated. So it's true, but some people are in such distress that they hear that. I had someone saying that. They were saying about how it was a very similar statement that you made. But people who are in a dark place have a hard time thinking, just starting to think that way. And that's where that quote, I think, is so powerful. Because just acknowledge who you are in the moment. Don't judge it. Just acknowledge it. And then decide, who do you want to become? Where do you want to be? And if you can stay focused on that, it's just like the storm, or if you knew Harry Potter, you know, the bludgers trying to knock you down. There's things in life that will knock you down. But if you stay focused on it, you're going to figure out a path in order to get there.
Yeah.
And the way you do that is knowing, who do you want to become? How do you want to react to people? Who are role models that were good role models that you aspired to be like? And if you can't think of it in the moment, maybe you can go back in time, like I just mentioned, or you can just picture it. Just try picturing it, because none of us wake up in the morning saying, I want to be negative today.
Right.
That's what I'm choosing. But we are. But it's right. Still, because I can see they're my husband, because as much as I have learned, when my comments start turning negative, he can handle like one or two. But if I start going in a negative direction, you can see it on his face. It's like, say the word crestfallen. You know, he's like happy to see me. And then I blurt out, you know, something that's not necessarily all positive, because we're human. We are going to go there, to that dark place at times. But as soon as I see that look on his face, then I know I have to change what I'm saying and what I'm feeling. Because even if I say nothing, my energy is projecting it and affecting him.
You know, you're bringing up a really good point. I want to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about, from your perspective, what are some of the basics? Because when we talk about stress, you know, people sometimes can feel really overwhelmed. But there are some basic things that you teach. There's some basic things that you help people with. I want to talk about that when we come back. But I also want to talk about something else that you help people with. And that is understanding that every one of us has the possibility for well-being. Every one of us. So how does Colonel Deb, how does she help people go from wherever they may be? Maybe it's the negative thought spiral. You know, maybe we're shrink wrapping our purpose and our desires. When we come back, what are the basics, and how well do you want your well-being to be? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwoman.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. Hey, look, some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. Well, the Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to reach out and go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, go to transformationtalkradio.com or go to carlgreer.com. Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on transformationtalkradio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit quantumtouch.com. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Corny Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Corny.
Hey, everyone.
everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you. Tune us in and turn us on. MentallyToughWomen.com. MentallyToughWomen.com. That's where you're going to find some of what Colonel Deb Lewis has put together to help all of us move ahead. And, you know, for those of you out there, here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you don't know where to begin, if you just want to reach out and give us a call here, you can certainly do it in the show. Give Benny your question if there's something you'd like us to address. Go to Transformation Talk Radio, type in your questions there, and we'll get them on air, get you some help today from Colonel Deb Lewis. But again, MentallyToughWomen.com. If you want to work with Colonel Deb, you just go to give her a call on her phone number, 571-332-7240. So there's a lot of ways to really open that door. See, the door is not locked to you. It's just a door. And all you need to do is grab that handle, turn it open, and you will get the help that you need today. Deb, thank you so much for today. This is, I think, one of the most pivotal topics that we can have at the moment. I think that we don't even have a sense, really, of what the barometer is for stress right now for people. But let's talk about the basics, if you could walk us through these, you know, the stress basics, but also tie that in. State of well-being that some people feel is so far out of reach for them.
Yes. Some of them have forgotten what are the benefits of it. If you understood the benefits, and that's lately I've been asking people that, what are the benefits of having well-being? Because, my relationships are better. My productivity is better. I can think more clearly. I can do pretty much, I can set my goals and I can have conversations and be in the moment instead of worrying about all the other things that could happen. But we stay in where we can focus on what's most important in the moment. We and our families suffer and if we don't have well-being. So these things, we know it. And this is the hard part. We talked about survival mode thinking. And so the first thing is to understand when your body goes into that. If you see anything as a threat, then your body will go into fight, flight, or shut down. And so understanding that at the get-go, that when that is your hot button, you've been triggered. If you do nothing else, the pause is what I recommend. The pause is the one to say, there are moments you may have to react, but almost always we have time to pause and decide who we want to be in the moment. Mm-hmm. We talked about the helmet. I have the helmet here. That's our wisdom. The wisdom is to make sure that as a focus on priority is giving your best to everybody. This is based on Athena. They can go back on the other one. But the other piece is I recognize life will throw things at you. And so this is the shield that I had. And the shield is, yes, you may have to give yourself some space. And the pause is one of those valuable tools that if you use it appropriately and then worry about how your energy is emoting, you will be able to at least start to go from that old way of thinking where you knee-jerk react and maybe say something like the poor people have Tourette's, but it comes out of your mouth and it's a negative thought. You cannot take it back. And those words can cut deeply to other people. Yeah. And so those are the things as we think about. And then I want you to focus on the joy. What if you could wake up every morning with a smile on your face? That's well-being. What if you went to bed and you say, gosh, that was a lot of work today, but I am so happy. I'm going to bed. I did my best. I know that next day I'm going to think about what I can do more. And if those worries are there, I'm setting them aside for the night, and I can then start fresh in the morning with that energy. Your energy is the real test. We call that being Pono. We can see the bull here is not very happy. And when you look at that, if your energy is there, what do you think you're doing to everyone around you? You are a human being. Your body is shared with the world. And just try it out. You test it. People think, that's something. But it is. If you're in a great mood and your well-being is at the peak, then people want to be with you. They want to share their life with you.
Yeah. And, Deb, I want you to talk about what we're learning now about well-being. It's really interesting. I studied well-being when I went back to school after losing my job after 24 and a half years. And I was just on a mission. I needed to understand everything I was feeling. I needed to understand what the dynamics were, because we were a part of the first second downsizing in the United States at the time. Mm. And, Exxon was first. And poorly is an understatement for how that was done. And so one of the things that became interesting to me was these two words, well-being. Well, can we talk for a minute about well-being and how finally, I think, it is being talked about in leadership circles, right? What do you think?
It is being talked about, and the funny thing is those who don't pay attention to it, there is a recent case of a company where the leader fired 900 people on Zoom. it's like, what were you thinking? Everything I do is packaging how I'm communicating, because you know what you intend to communicate, but if you're not caring about the people that you're with, about their well-being, it's a stark difference to someone like Panera Bread, who's the CEO of that. I had heard a wonderful interview with him, and he, when COVID hit, and basically they lost more than half their business overnight. I mean, he was working so hard to protect his people. They became very creative. Instead of selling the goods at a store, which was not possible at the time, they started selling their raw materials, because they had all these raw materials. And people, he noticed that people were starving and the shelves were empty because people were depleting all the shelves. And he built a store. And then for his people, just one other example.
Wow.
He was working with Walmart. He partnered with Walmart, and they created their own page, because Walmart was still looking for people because people were going to stores. And so they made that transition for his employees who wanted that as a possibility to at least have a job, because he couldn't pay them. Otherwise, the company would have gone under. And that thoughtfulness and working together helped people get through this dark time.
Yeah.
And he understood the well-being. He understood that the mental mindset is key in any life, not just an organization. And they came back stronger than ever. They have pulled back. They it's like almost without skipping a beat. And the Harvard professor interviewing him said only 10% of companies are able to adjust to adversity like this company.
Wow.
And so what are the keys to success?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in the show, because I think one of the things you hit on is how do we manage the fear that our staff and employees have. I mean, we didn't shut our doors, but in order for me to keep them open, I had to double my space. I had to literally go back and say, okay, when this guy leaves, I want that double. I didn't think about the cost, because I knew that what was going to happen is if I couldn't make this a safe workplace, we would not have producers or staff to really run the shows and do things in the way that really supports the standard we have. And what I love about this, and I would love for you to talk about it when we come back, we don't always get the exact solution like the example you gave. The solution sometimes is much more creative and imaginative, like Einstein talks about. So I'd love to talk with you when we come back about the factors that affect whether or not we can make decisions that are improvative, that are imaginative, and what the toll might be
that stress takes and what can we learn, tools and strategies, because Colonel Deb Lewis is the master at that. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about stress tools, strategy, universal truths. What are they? And what is it that you might be able to do right now if you're listening to this? You're going to learn about that too. If you want to find out more about Colonel Deb, go ahead and check it out at mentallytoughwomen.com. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Courtney Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
Everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I'm so thrilled. I'm here with Colonel Deb Lewis. For those of you out there, and like I said before, there are a couple of things that you can do. One, you can go ahead and go to mentallytoughwomen.com. But Deb, can you also tell people what you have about the book and training sessions and all of that? Can you give us a little sneak peek?
Yes, I would love to. Thank you. It is such a difference in our lives when we start having the ability to turn these negative situations that may keep happening to us, because they will keep happening to us, and we turn them. We were having a great conversation about, you know, things are going to keep coming at you. That's why I have the shield. But you need to learn to duck, or you need, as you were talking, you need to move faster. And these are things that if you like feeling pain, then don't change. But if you want something better, here is a book that came out that actually was based on a university course given to students locally here on the Big Island. And what I want to share about that is it becomes the key to how do you handle stress? What are the things you can do? Because when you learn how to handle stress, you look like this instead. Happy, smiles, working together well, and if you strive for that, which is I like to be happy, then think about the book. It's a very inexpensive, great gift for the holiday for not just the kids, but the family. Because yep. Trust me, when the kids understand this, they will make sure the family understands it. And that's really, I think, our key for future success. The more we can help our kids understand how to handle stress in this way, so that's one way. And then other ways on the website. Now, Mentally Tough Women isn't just for women. It's just that I know women, and I understood that we face so many things in life, and most of us act like it's a no big deal. And, yeah. Or we don't tell anybody the big deal that it is. It's nothing. It was something, but we say it's nothing. It's kind of automatic. And so they can go to the website, and there are two courses that are there that over 4,000 people are taking right now. One is to handle extreme stress. We talked a little bit about that here, but we talked about it at another point in time. What we can do is we can learn how to deal with the physicality of it. That's really, you can focus your mind so you deal with the physicality. So all of us have been through tough situations where you said, I'm going to do it, I'm going to make it. It has to be part of your brain, but it's also recognizing the indicators of your body. That's the extreme stress. And then there's stress basics. What are the ABCs of stress basics? Who told you that life was going to keep throwing stuff at you and you needed to be stronger? Sometimes you got to push it away. Sometimes you got to lift it up. Sometimes you got to lift other people up. You want to know those basics. And then if you want to do sessions, you know, one of the things about COVID is we talk to people globally. They can get this message globally.
Yeah.
So 2 a.m, I'm doing courses with people in the United Arab Emirates, and I'm able to talk to more people in more countries and more states at any moment in time, just like you can reach with your show when you've been able to reach with your show. There are a lot of benefits. So those two courses are complimentary, but there's more if you want specific training, like I'm getting ready to do half-hour sessions with a group of healthcare people.
Wow.
Who was under pressure during COVID? Healthcare. And I personally know before COVID, they helped me with a condition that was chronic, and they fixed it. They literally fixed it when a doctor told me, oh, just do this at night, and that'll fix it. Didn't do that at all.
You know, this is really part of the conversation, too. It's, you know, and one of the things that I was talking to you about during the break is, you know, I'm not perfect, but I've become more aware, self-aware, right? Oh, I'm almost like the Terminator movie. I'm becoming more self-aware. But what I mean by that is I caught myself, and I think I told you a little bit about last week, was one of the more challenging weeks I've had in a long time, with a couple of personal deaths in the family, and also having to put something together very quickly for my attorney and a couple of other people. And what I realized about all of that, some of the old habits kicked back in. So I found myself doing a show, and I'm a tapper. I will tap. If you give me a pen, I will subconsciously be tapping on the desk during my show. And I caught myself doing that. Now, that's something I became mindful of. I made myself aware. I changed that habit, especially during the show. You don't want to hear somebody tapping. But yet, I must have been down a chord, right?
Exactly.
And so it kicks back in. So can you talk a bit about what we can learn, tools and strategies that help us, one, build up that level of awareness, you know, and then two, understand the end game of well-being. See, I love that. I love that phrase, well-being. I just love it. And that's what you help people with, isn't it?
Yes. When you are able to be with people who are in a place, like your last week, I mean, let's face it, deaths are a fact of life, but death suddenly or any, even if you know that it's coming, you're never well prepared for it. It's going to sucker punch you. And the idea is, how can you, it's like putting on a new set of glasses. How can you put on that new set of glasses to say, I could focus on everything I lost, or I could focus on what gift that was, the beauty of having somebody in my life that supported me and helped me and meant so much to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when you look at that, at the skills that we have, we are hardwired, for one, to see everything, as we talked about, as a threat. So you're going to go to those old habits, because what were the things that got you through? Maybe it was the tapping, got you through certain moments. And the other thing is, I learned with workers that if I put toys on the table, now some people get, the people who are presenting get distracted by that. I don't get distracted by that. If they have something that keeps their hands busy, then their mind can focus on what is being said. It's really kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But these are things that you can learn. You can understand that it's just like the iceberg. The 10% of information, of facts that you've been operating on is the end-all and be-all. Actually, down below, 90% is not what you thought.
Right.
And so your actions, we talked about this in a previous session, your actions could be factually correct and entirely wrong. This is an area, they call it soft skills, but it's really, really hard to understand and get unless you're actually paying attention. And many people today consider themselves having no time. I have no time for this. That is a Western concept that was brought to me, because an Eastern mindset is that we have all the time in the world to do what's most important in life.
Yeah.
And we can go through life in order to make a difference, not just in our lives, but in the lives that we touch.
Yeah.
So these type of mindset shifts are powerful and can change a life in a single session. I've done it, where people have gone from just tears to being joyful.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. It's like a light bulb goes on. And this is the power of these skills.
It really is. I love that. It is like a light bulb goes on. You know, I was talking about this earlier today, because one of the things we noticed is, you know, when we answer the phone in the studio, you know, how do you answer a phone? What do you say? And the word busy is a hot button for a lot of people. And so when we say we're busy to all of you, there's an interpretation that gets made. But if you're me, I don't even understand that word, because I'm doing something I'm passionate about. I don't know that I've used the word busy except to talk about a busy signal, because I don't live in that realm. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about is part of this journey and tools and strategies also, isn't it understanding the impact we have even in what we say to people? Because stress not only will cause some kind of physical reaction, right, Colonel Deb, but the verbal stuff. And, boy, you can't take some of that back sometimes. That just is like, ugh.
Exactly. I think that we have, at least my study of it, at least 7 ways we're communicating. Any one of those presents that negative piece. It's as if you don't like ingredients. Sorry for those who love cilantro. I do not. If it's in something, I got my detector out, and that's the way with how we, and so this, I'll just go through a couple of them, but what we see, how we're communicating, what you're seeing on the face, like some people's faces are frowning all the time. And And guess what? Just like stress skills, you have to work on how you are seen. People probably are telling you, you need to smile more. Well, yes. That's a real great indicator. You need to work on this. Because if you're not making that effort, my husband and I go through this. I actually have an exercise with it. And I'll keep telling him, no, you're not welcoming. You're not welcoming. Nope, not yet. Not yet. More smile. Because when he gets serious, he starts to frown. You know, he's intent.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
You know, and when I'm like focused and am intense about something, right, I'm not smiling. So I've had to learn that a little bit because that could be a little scary, right?
Yeah.
When
exactly.
You're passionate about something and you're intense about it, you know, if you don't really, if you're not mindful of the other person that's sitting across from you, I mean,
they'll fill it in. They'll fill it in. See, a lot of times, this is something actually that I was talking with my daughter about, is that if people are reacting in a negative way, is it really about you? Probably not. It's probably something going on in them. We want to attribute it to us. I don't know why we do that. That's one of those. It's just like Dale Carnegie said, if you want to gather honey, don't kick over the beehive. Mm-hmm. If you want to bring out the best in people, don't comment and say, you're ugly, you know, you're angry today, or you're, you know, you it's factually correct but entirely wrong. My emphasis, I don't know if you heard that, I've got roofers in my house.
Yeah, it's like you're cranky today.
Cranky.
You seem a little cranky today. I mean, who wants to hear that?
It's factually because the fact-based people are looking at the 10%. If you want to improve how your relationships are, how good you feel about yourself, stop paying attention to just the 10%. You need to look at the whole picture and really focus on what you want. That's like number 5 step in the extreme stress one, four step, because the 5th step is how to refill your tank. But you want to make sure that what is it that you want? Because if that's what you want, making a factual statement like that will get you an opposite reaction, an upset, like we talked about with my mom and my dad. You know, and we have that ability to anticipate. But most people don't think about stress as a skill. And they think of stress as a foe, not a friend. They think of people who are in a bad place, like Pono, you know, that I need to stay away from them. You need to stay out of their way if they're on the rampage, because loved ones want to stand. I used to stand front and center, and then you get, you know, you get run over. You know, it's making the tracks on your body. You know, I've been run over enough times to learn that's a really bad strategy. So what can you do? There's a ton you can do, and that's what I'm an engineer. I'm constantly coming up with unique ways. Think of what was the guy on the show who, MacGyver, you know, MacGyver. I'm MacGyver everything. You know, I'm constantly looking at what's available. I see what's happening. And when you look at it life that way, it's more like the gamers who are seeing, this obstacle. I just need to get through to this one. I need to get through to this level. And life will continue to throw bigger and bigger things. But are you going to be able to take advantage of that opportunity or not? For example, I was asked to be on all these shows. I was put on a cover of magazines. I was asked to be on PBS. I was asked to do all these things. Like in a week period, it just exploded. And if you're not ready for it, then you'll say no.
Yeah.
And I would tell you that would have been the biggest mistake for me, because my goal was to help more people. How are you going to help more people? Are you going to remain an unknown? Or are you going to try to say you can conquer stress? You can use it to your advantage. You can make it, guess what, your superpower. You can do things. You can, like they talk about, the, if you don't like Wonder Woman, how about Captain America? You know, you can do things in ways that you never thought possible. And all of a sudden, when you channel that energy instead of the toxicity, which takes people down and burns everything in its path, you can take that same energy and you can help other people and continue to build and build. We know it is. We know we can do it, and we've seen it with people. You need one inspirational person and one person who can figure out what it is to turn the tide on that.
I love that you're talking about this because, see, that is really a game shifter for people. Just one. See, we just need one, right? It's like the story you were sharing during the break. One. It's that one person maybe that put their hand out for me, you know, at a time where I was totally at my lowest. You know, I didn't know what to do. But what you're talking about today is so powerful, right? Because you're right about things. You and I both have been put in situations where our end game is to help more people. That's our end game. That's the energy of what we want to do. And yet, if an opportunity shows up, we entertain, albeit for a nanosecond, the fact of saying no to it for whatever reason. But in the end, when we build these tools up, these muscles up, these things that you talk about to conquer stress, right? We are talking about a mindset shift, right? We are talking about a level of strength or building up that muscle power that's emotional, maybe spiritual for some people, emotional, spiritual, and mental.
All of the above.
All of the above. And that has been key for so many people. But you've worked with people throughout COVID. You've worked with people to really help them and meet them where they are. What do you find greatest impact we can have to help people conquer stress?
I think that what comes to mind first, there's many things that come to mind, but the one thing is that when we're helping them conquer stress, is to recognize that each of us have very special gifts that can help us address any problem, any situation. What if you had no fear and you could do anything and you could be successful at it? If you had that thought, it may not be the second. Some people are so impatient. But the thing is that when you have a goal, if you do not have a goal in life, you may not be, there's not everybody, most people want to help another person and they get that satisfaction, but not every, some people are in survival mode and they just need to say, well, what about me? It's my time. It doesn't matter what that goal particularly is. You have to understand you need other people to help you, and other people are exceptionally gifted in being able to help each other rise above whatever circumstance we're at. And so you have the power. For our experiences, most people would say you should have post-traumatic stress. And there's a lot of people who get that. But how did we work out of turning a horrible situation into something empowering? It's the same energy, but it's completely in a different direction. And when you get that understanding and you start learning some of these tools, and strategies are designed to get what we want. We talked about that before. If you understand that it's possible, whatever circumstance you're in, because I know some of your audience are facing horrific conditions right now.
Yeah.
And I would just say it's like the storm. The storm will pass. Will you be ready? Will you be strong enough to hold on to get through that short period? Because in your life, it's a short period. Are you strong enough to get through that and be able to then hit the ground running once it passes? And we can help each other. And understanding that stress is not a foe. It's not your enemy. It's not your threat. It is what it is.
Oh.
And we stop judging. We just had an event. Someone was judging. I resent this. If your language, this is some of the classes, many of them are based in getting rid of negativity. Why do you have to judge? Why don't you just focus on what you want and work with people and explain that and keep explaining to them. They may want to go negative. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to be getting into that.
Resentment is the number one offender.
Poor stress skills mean that you will go fight, flight, shut down.
Yep.
And your fighting is judging. You're fighting. Why would you fight at someone if you were getting along with them? You wouldn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. You know? So you fight them, and you just, that's the key. When you found yourself tapping, to me, I want them to know that's your tap. When you're tapping, you are probably annoying someone. It's just a symptom that something's not right. And if it's a symptom, address it. And not just put a Band-Aid on it.
Yep.
You need to take the time to get to the source.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just want to put a Band-Aid on things. I've never seen that work. It gets, you've seen effects.
Never worked for me in my life, not a single time. And boy, I at one point in my life, I became masterful at bandages.
Yeah.
Yeah, until I didn't, until I had something that really woke me up. You know, Deb, this is very powerful. And the work that you do, you work with adults, and you also are passionate about our kids and teaching them some tools and skills. Because I think you said it earlier in the show, you know, it's not like life is going to get, quote, easier, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But the ease by which we learn some tools, right, the degree by which we learn some tools will sort of determine, you know, how we get to move forward, how we get to either make it easier or harder. Thank you for today. I would love to hear your personal message and, again, tell people how they can find out about you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for our wonderful time together, Dr. Pat. What you're doing for others is really helping them. And I want you to say, at least to understand for our audience and reminder for us, is that our goal is to help the helpers. We can help people who can be educated. You may be well adjusted in making things happen and able to handle terrible stress, but can you explain it to someone who's not? Because they're going to stop your efforts. So it's even more important to be able to understand this so that you can help more people and resolve the problems that we have in the world. I think we've got enough of them. You know, there's still a lack of problems. And working together is the only way. And I have a saying I'm in the Veterans of Foreign Wars, united in aloha. We have to be united together, the only way we're going to get things done. Mm-hmm. And when we each become the best person that we can be and help others do the same, that's when the magic happens in life. Mm-hmm. That's when good things happen. And we want to have that happen. People are wanting to bust out of COVID malaise. And all I can tell you is 1,600 people are still dying every day.
Yes.
You must be cognizant of what's going on around you because your actions could hurt other people. And I'm here to help other people. And when you do, then you can accomplish even greater things in your life. And so I look forward to what's next, and I want people to take advantage of the complimentary courses. Do it with a loved one. Do it with a friend. Talk about the videos. In one case, we taught teachers, and the teacher shared it with the kids, and I got to tell that the kids got the message because they do. They're smarter than we know. And those kids, one child came back, I think we mentioned it, he said, I need to look at the book again because I feel my mental stability slipping away. And I want to respond, like pause or do that, then react. And this was an autistic child. We have so many autistic children who have lack of control of their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because when your emotions get triggered, think of you can channel it for good, or you can just self-destruct or hurt other people. It's your choice. And I think during the holiday season, it's a time of joy. I can think of every day as a holiday, but make sure that you're delivering the presents, the gifts to other people, and that is the best you.
The views expressed on this program are...